When we don't reach our goals, we often blame time. If I'd only had more time. You know, time really slipped away from me. If I just managed my time a little bit better. And so we tell ourselves that we'll get it right next time, and we commit to finally figuring out this whole time management thing. But what if I told you that you were going about it all wrong? And the reason that you're not reaching your goals isn't because of poor time management, but something else entirely. Frederick Winslow Taylor birthed time management during the Industrial Revolution because he wanted factory workers to learn to live by the clock rather than by the sun. And today, that approach to productivity has taken on a life of its own. Books, blogs, and social media posts are filled with the next best time management hacks, including gems like, Jeff Bezos and you both have the same 24 hours. If he can get shit done, why can't you? But it doesn't really work like that. It's true that everyone has 24 hours, but everyone doesn't have the same 24 hours. Bezos doesn't have to do his laundry, make dinner, call the plumber, or take his attention-seeking dog to the vet. He can outsource all that.
Whose daddy doesn't care about the little guy? Is your daddy.
And even if you have enough money to outsource all of these things, this story might still sound familiar to you. You jot down a lengthy to-do list for the day, you copy the morning routine of the world's most successful people, and you sit down in front of your laptop to tackle your tasks like a YouTube self-help guru. But then a tap starts leaking, your kids need something, Brian accidentally deletes an entire year's of work, and you're totally exhausted by the time 3 p.m. rolls around. You think that you're procrastinating because all 65 items are still on your to-do list, and so you beat yourself up for wasting time that you could have spent working. And even worse, you think, tomorrow will be different. You'll employ a new time management hack you found on Instagram, try a new morning routine, and finally get caught up on all that work and more. Until the same exact thing happens the next day, which gets you thinking someone really needs to have a conversation with Brian. Also, there's probably a more effective way to plan our days. And there is. The problem isn't your lack of effective time management, because time is a fixed resource. However, energy is a different ballgame. In 2006, Tony Schwartz and Catherine McCarthy ran an energy management experiment with 106 employees of Wachovia Bank. They took the employees through a curriculum of four modules: body, emotion, mind, and spirit, focusing on strengthening these four dimensions of energy. Then they measured their performance against a control group. In the first 3 months, the energy-aware participants showed a 13% year-over-year increase compared to non-participants. And the participants consistently outperformed the control group for the entire year after completing the energy management program. When asked how the program influenced the employees personally, 68% said it had a positive impact on their relationships with clients, and 71% reported a positive impact on their productivity and performance. It turns out that cramming 65 items onto your to-do list and scheduling 5 meetings in one day might seem like a good idea in theory, but it doesn't account for the reality. You might have enough hours in the day to do all the things that you want to do, but you don't have enough energy. Unlike the predictability of the clock, our energy can swing wildly from 1 hour to the next. And if you continue to take the advice from factory labor days and apply it to our modern working environment, you're going to only be disappointed, frustrated, and burn out. It's time to stop hunting for time management techniques and to start managing our energy instead. All right, so if you want to start managing your energy better, there are four things you need to start doing. First, you need to find your peak performance periods. There's a time of the day when you're naturally more focused. Maybe it's in the quiet mornings before your kids wake up, perhaps it's in the late afternoon lulls, or it could be late into the night when the world goes silent. During these hours, your energy seems to be at its maximum. Getting into a flow state is effortless, and tasks that would otherwise cause you a crisis get checked off with ease. Find these hours in the day where your focus is at its peak. When do you tend to get the most quality work done in less time? Keep a productivity journal for a week and take note of when you're feeling most sharp. You could even combine this with a time tracking app like Rescue Time to see if you're actually making the most of the periods where you have your optimum energy. And this might change as you age. I became a morning person at 30 years old. Before this time, I'd get most of my work done well into the night. I'd often stay up past 1 a.m. working on projects, and I pulled way too many all-nighters than I'd care to admit, although I'd blame that more on my impressive procrastination skills than the fact that I was better working at night. But now I find that the first 3 hours after I wake up is really my window of peak performance. That's why after I wake up at around 7 or 8 a.m., I try not to let too much get in between my work and myself. The mornings when I overcome resistance and I sit down at my desk as soon as possible are the days where I'm most likely to make significant progress on my projects and towards my big goals. Next, find out how much energy a task requires. Your energy isn't constant. It ebbs and flows according to how much sleep you've had, how much you've eaten, and the quality of your downtime. Instead of using time management principles to organize your day, organize your tasks by the amount of energy that's needed to complete them. So when I think about my life, there are definitely those items that require little effort and those that seem to drain my battery way faster. My most energy depleting tasks include filming, like this, phone calls, meetings, writing, and video editing. And my lower energy tasks include reviewing work, checking emails, replying to messages, and I would even put household chores down at the bottom as well, like making dinner, doing laundry, and cleaning up. You can do this practice yourself by creating a list of the most common tasks you have to do in a week and then order them from the most draining to the least. And then from there, you need to figure out how to prioritize your tasks and schedule them into your day. Remember, just because something takes up a lot of energy doesn't mean that it's necessarily an important thing you need to do. So during your peak performance periods, tackle the tasks that have the biggest crossover between most important and high energy. For me, I do most of my writing, filming, and my video editing in the morning, and then I schedule my administrative items that are a little bit less important and require less energy outside of that peak performance window. This is when I check email, I schedule most of my phone calls, and I do my chores. Even though I could blaze through my chores first thing in the morning, it's just gonna be a waste of my limited energy. And then you need to refill your cup regularly. Rest is productive. I repeat, rest is productive. Research has repeatedly proven downtime enhances your brain's ability to be more creative and productive and overall just less of an asshole. None of us is built to run nonstop. And as corny as it sounds, you can't pour from an empty cup. It can be challenged to prioritize rest when we live in a culture that glorifies burnout and has done it for so long. And while the tide does seem to be turning and more people are talking about the importance of mental health and sleep, we still have a long ways to go. When you're always connected through work, through your phone, it's a slippery slope from responding to Slack messages at midnight to checking email while you're on the toilet.
I'm not a businessman, I'm a businessman. Oh, no, yep, I'll be right out. Sorry.
This is why you need to be disciplined about rest. To do this, you can make both big and small moves in your life. For the small moves, find out what helps you to replenish your energy and make space for those things daily. Maybe it's a morning walk, an afternoon workout session, or 15 minutes of meditation after work. And don't just do these things when you're already feeling burnt out. Meditating after you've had a full-blown mental breakdown isn't gonna solve any of your problems. And then, of course, there are the big moves that you can make. If you're currently working a job that doesn't value rest and downtime, if you don't get enough time off, if you don't have a flexible schedule, or you can't work from home, it might be time to start looking for a new job. There's only so much that you can do if your boss expects you to be up at all hours of the night checking email or even working while on vacation. This kind of work is unhealthy and unsustainable, and you deserve better. And finally, make flexible to-do lists. As much as you try to implement every productivity technique out there, from color-coded calendars to Pomodoro clocks and hula hooping to increase focus, yes, apparently that's a thing, some things are just outside of your control, and your energy is often one of those things. You can do everything right and still wake up feeling lethargic. You can have the best intentions in the world, but still have difficulty concentrating even during those peak performance hours. Well-structured daily plans are great, but they have to leave room for spontaneity and unexpected events. While planning your day, make sure to cut yourself some slack when things don't go according to plan. And I'm mostly saying this because this is advice that I need to hear myself right now. I know personally how frustrating it can be to have your entire day derailed by one thing. Whether you can't log into your online account because the server is down, or your printer won't connect to your laptop even though you've tried for 2 hours and you connected and reconnected it, and then you called customer support and they couldn't help, and then you did literally everything you could possibly think of, but your printer won't connect to your laptop. The point is, you're not perfect. And the sooner that you accept that and add some flexibility into your life, you'll realize that even if you have a shitty day, it doesn't need to affect your well-being or your self-worth. Time management techniques and tactics aren't all that bad. In fact, some of them are really helpful. But until we start to prioritize our work and life around the ups and downs that we face on a daily basis, we will consistently disappoint ourselves. Organizing your life around your energy can help you set more realistic deadlines, tackle complex tasks, and ensure that you don't drain your battery clipping Jeff Bezos' toenails. While we might all have 24 hours in a day, they aren't all the same 24 hours, so we should plan accordingly.